Good morning. If you've ever raised a boy, you might have noticed that they go through jeans quite frequently. They wear them out pretty quick. When we buy them new jeans, they start out nice and clean and whole, not holy. But after several times being worn, they begin to show some wear and tear. Thank you, Ethan, for letting me use your jeans. They start to get a few holes. Just thin fabric. The fabric gets thin on some of the knees. And as that fabric is thin and he continues to wear them, any boy continues to wear them, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner and more worn and more worn. Begins to show a little bit more wear and tear. But they're still wearable. I mean, it's still usable. But again, as time goes on and they're worn more, it just keeps getting more and more worn. Until finally there's a big hole in the jeans. And then we question whether or not we can actually send him to school that way with a big hole in his jeans. Over time, a lot of things of this world wear out. The parts on our cars wear out. Our appliances wear out. The carpets in our home, they get a path worn where we walk the most. Couches and chairs wear out eventually from too much sitting on them. And even our bodies, over time, can wear out. As these items are used more and more, they don't look as good as they once did, they don't work as good as they once did, and they don't do the job that they once did. Like Ethan's jeans, our spiritual lives may become worn over time. The worn-out part of our spiritual lives might not look too bad at first. It can just be a little thin, but we're still okay. But soon that worn spot can turn into a hole in our lives. Ethan's jeans became worn from constant use, constant pressure, constant rubbing, friction against that same spot over and over and over. Every time he would trip, every time he'd fall down or lay down, roll around, whatever he would do would put pressure on that spot on his knees and the jeans, and over time, it was worn out. Our spiritual lives are under constant pressure, constant rubbing from this world. We all know that. We're under constant trials. That's nothing new. Every time we trip, every time we fall, we get a little more worn. One reason we fall is because I think we're trying to carry too many cares, carrying too many burdens of this world by ourselves. We try to carry too much ourselves. We carry, these are just examples, guilt, shame, sorrow, anger, fear, worry, resentment, bitterness, and a lot more than that. Think of wearing a backpack. And you put all your cares and worries in that backpack, and some of them are small, so they're easy. You don't feel them. But after time, that backpack gets heavier and heavier. It reminds me of the fictional character of Atlas, who is holding up a big world on his back, and he's crouching down under the weight of that world. Sometimes that's how we can feel when we're carrying all these cares and worries of the world. They can weigh us down. And when we get weighed down, when you start bending over, we're going to fall to our knees. It's going to push us down to our knees, and we're going to wear out. We're going to get worn. There's going to be a spot on our spiritual genes, so to speak, that's going to get worn out. But we have to carry these burdens. I mean, we can't go through life without them. But we ask sometimes, why doesn't God help us? Why doesn't God protect us? Why doesn't God make life easy for us? If we kept Ethan inside the house, if we didn't send him to school, if we didn't let him play with his friends, his jeans would probably never get worn out. They would probably wouldn't get that hole if he didn't go out for recess and fall on the playground. But he would be sheltered, and he wouldn't grow. He wouldn't learn. God doesn't want us to be sheltered. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. So we need to get out and live. Our lives in this world are not going to be easy. There is work involved in this world. And it is going to be hard. And we are going to get tired and worn. From 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trials we face are for our benefit. They're to make us stronger and to test us. We keep getting more and more cares and worries to help us get stronger so that we can stand up. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We are going to have these trials, these burdens, these cares and worries in our lives. We are going to get weighed down by them. We are going to get worn out by them. But God wants us to go to Him for help. He wants us to have to rely on Him for His strength. This life is work and it's going to be hard, but we can have help if we need it. From Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One day there was a city man who went out into the country and wanted to see his friend who was a farmer. When the city man arrived, the farmer was out plowing his field with a team of oxen. The city man noticed that one of the animals, one of the oxen, was bigger than the other one. So he asked his friend about it. And the farmer said that the larger ox was an older one. He was well trained. And that the smaller ox was younger and didn't have much experience yet. The city man went on to ask him why he put them together this way. And so the farmer said, that older ox is the best ox I've ever had. He knows his way around the field. The reason I put the younger one with him is so the older one, the more knowledgeable ox, could teach him how to plow. If I never put them together, the younger one would never learn. By himself, the younger ox would pull himself to death. But together he learns to cooperate and let the older ox help him. When we are carrying these burdens, when we are having these cares and troubles in our lives and trying to carry them ourselves, we shouldn't carry them ourselves. We need to turn to God, turn to Christ, and have them help us. But even though we have Jesus' help, we have the availability of Jesus to help us, they still allow us to make decisions on our own. We can still make mistakes. We can still trip. We can still fall when we're not expecting it. And sometimes we don't want to share our burdens, our cares, our troubles with Jesus. Sometimes it's something small and we think, oh, we should be able to handle this. We can handle this small care. It's not very heavy. This Bible isn't very heavy, but if I hold it long enough, it would become heavy, and I wouldn't be able to hold it up any longer. Even the small cares in our life, we need to turn to God and Jesus to have them help us. As I mentioned a little bit ago, when we have all these cares in our backpack and it's on our back, when it gets heavy enough, like that fictional character Atlas, we're going to end up bending over. It's going to push us down. At that time, it's going to be hard to look up. And the devil is just, he's not going to help either. He's going to put care after care in our ways. He's going to put distractions in our ways to make us look down. We're going to have a hard time turning our eyes up and looking up towards God for help. If we're carrying too much of a load, we're going to keep looking down instead of looking up. So we need to not only share our load to make it easier, but share the load so that we can look up, so that we're not weighted down and forced to look down, so we can look up for help. Sometimes when we get under all these burdens and these cares, it can weigh on other parts of our spiritual lives. We're so focused on carrying those trials, we can start forgetting some of the basic things we're supposed to do, including prayer. There's a quote I found from Isaac Bashevis Singer. He was a Polish Nobel Prize winner. He said, I only pray when I'm in trouble. But I'm in trouble all the time, so I pray all the time. We can't forget to pray. When we are in trouble, again, when it's even the smallest thing, that's a trouble. We need to turn to God. It's very easy once you get out of the habit of prayer. If you go a while, if you're so busy with these other cares and you don't take the time to pray, it's easy to get out of the habit and forget. But we need to talk to God about everything. Our cares, our troubles, our burdens, what we're thankful for, happy for, everything. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We cannot forget to pray, no matter how heavy the load and how busy we are carrying that load. Sarah and I like to have Ethan start the day with a non-holy pair of jeans or pants of any kind. That's our goal anyway. If at the end of the day they end up with a hole, then okay. But at least he started the day non-holy. But if he does have to go to school sometimes with a hole in his pants, and that's normally because we didn't prepare. We weren't prepared for that day. He started the day with a worn pair of jeans already. So that means that knee is going to be even less protected if he were to fall. We can also start our days spiritually worn out to begin with. We can start our day already worn out, and we shouldn't. We need to start our day complete and fresh. If we had a bad day at work, and we know that we're going to have the same work to do the next day, we can go home and go to bed dreading the next day already. So when we wake up, we're already worn. We're worn out already. We haven't even started the day. If we've had a fight with a family member the night before and we didn't resolve it, we can start the day worn out. Spiritually, we cannot give the devil any more of an advantage that he has than he has already over us. He knows what weighs us down. He knows what cares are going to push us down the most and make us fall and wear ourselves out. He knows what's going to make us trip. So if we start the day with holy jeans, with holes in them, if we start the day already worn out, it's just going to make it that much easier for him to make us even more worn and tired. And then we can't focus on following God. We shouldn't get out of bed already bent over from the cares of the previous day. We need to expect the best from each day because each day is from the Lord. Psalms 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Reminds me of a line in a movie. If a lady was having trouble sleeping, so instead of counting sheep, the gentleman said, count your blessings instead. So you should go to bed thinking about God's blessings and how great he is. And when we awake, he is still with us. And a popular verse, Psalms 118 and 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So enough of the worn out part of my lesson. That part kind of gets you down. But we all have that part of in our lives that gets us, things that get us worn out. The inspiration for this lesson comes from a song that I've heard on the radio. It's called Worn. Fitting. It's about no matter how much life gets us down, no matter how much trouble we've gone through or going through, no matter how worn out we are, God will overcome. God will give us rest, and he will mend our worn spots, and he will bring what is dead in our lives back to life. I'm going to read the lyrics of the song. Rearranged them just a little bit. I cut out the choruses in the middle and just save them all for the end. I'm tired. I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak. Life just won't let up. My prayers are wearing thin. I'm worn. Even before the day begins, I'm worn. I've lost my will to fight. I'm worn. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I want to know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life, and all that's dead inside can be reborn, because I'm worn. God allows us to go through struggles. He allows us to carry burdens in our lives. He allows us to become worn so he can show us how great he is. He wants us to see how much he loves us. He wants us to learn that we need to have Him in our lives. And the only way to learn that is to know how much we need Him. We need to know what it's like when when we've pushed Him away, when we've held Him off, when we're not allowing Him in our lives. We need to know what that's like so that we can see how great it is with Him. I know the times that I've felt the closest to God is when I have felt my lowest. When I have struggled most with life, when I have felt more worn out, that's when God's love shines. He wants us to know that He can bring beauty out of pain. Little story here. It's, as you'll see, it's totally fictional, but it gives a neat illustration. A common illustration, but kind of told in a different way that I hadn't heard before. There was a couple who was in England for their 25th anniversary, and one day they stopped into some of these little shops in one of the little towns to do some shopping. Now, this couple, they both liked antiques and pottery, and especially teacups. They liked little teacups. So they were in one shop, and they saw this beautiful little teacup. So they asked the sales clerk there, "May we see that teacup? We've never seen one quite so beautiful." And as the lady handed it to them, the teacup spoke. See, it's fictional. The teacup said, "You don't understand. I haven't always been a teacup. There was a time when I was red, and I was clay. My master took me and rolled me and patted me over and over, and I yelled out, 'Leave me alone.' But he only smiled and said, 'Not yet.' Then I was placed on a spinning wheel, and suddenly I was spun around and around and around. 'Stop it. I'm getting dizzy,' I screamed. But the master only nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me in the oven. I've never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me, and I yelled and knocked at the door. I could see him through the opening, and I could read his lips as he shook his head. 'Not yet.' Finally, the door opened. He put me on a shelf, and I began to cool. 'There, that's better,' I said. Then he brushed me and painted me all over. The fumes were horrible. I thought I would gag. 'Stop it! Stop it!' I cried. He only nodded. 'Not yet.' Then he suddenly put me back into the oven. Not like the first one. This was twice as hot, and I knew I would suffocate. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed. All the time I could see him through the opening, nodding his head, saying, 'Not yet.' Then I knew there wasn't any hope. I would never make it. I was ready to give up. But the door opened, and he took me out and placed me on a shelf. 1 hour later, he handed me a mirror, and I couldn't believe it was me. 'It's beautiful. I'm beautiful.' 'I want you to remember then,' he said. 'I know it hurts to be rolled and patted, but if I had let you alone, you would have dried up. I know it made you dizzy to spin around on the wheel, but if I had stopped, you would have crumbled. I knew it hurt and was hot and disagreeable in the oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad, and when I brushed and painted you all over, but if I hadn't done that, you never would have hardened. You would not have had any color in your life. And if I hadn't put you back in the second oven, you wouldn't survive for very long, because the hardness would not have held. Now you are our finished product. You are what I had in mind when I first began with you." We could put a patch on Ethan's jeans. We could patch it up and cover the hole. It would protect his knee. It would work. But everyone would know that it was a patch. Everyone would know that there was a hole still in his jeans. The actual jeans still had a hole, but we're just trying to cover it up. God just doesn't want to patch over our worn areas. He doesn't want there to be a hole in our spiritual lives and for us to patch it over. He wants us to be new. He wants to remake us. Isaiah 64:8 is obviously the inspiration for that story. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. God knows what he's doing for all of us. He is the potter and we are the clay. He will mold us and make us into a flawless piece of work to fulfill his perfect will. We can't say what step of the process we are in with God. We could be in the molding stage still. He could be spinning us around, trying to form us. He could be in an oven. He could be painting us. We don't know. We can't say when he's finished. Only God can say when he's finished. We are going to go through trials, but it's for the better good. He wants us to be whole and complete. One of my favorite lines from that song that I read is, it says, all that's dead inside can be reborn. When we have sin in our lives, if we leave that sin there, we're as good as dead. We'll be dead to sin. It's from Romans 6:23. We touched on that this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, one final illustration this morning. I don't know if you've ever watched on TV those TV shows like Planet Earth or various shows like that on the Discovery Channel. I like those shows, even though they say the Earth is like millions and billions of years old. Get over that, and then they show the animals. They show his creation. That part, doesn't matter who they give the credit to, I know who gets the credit, and I can appreciate what they're showing. I'd like to talk about an animal this morning to help us with the final part of this topic. The animal is the woolly bear caterpillar. You know those little woolly bear caterpillars? Black on both ends, brownish, reddish band in the middle. Supposed to be able to predict how bad winter's going to be. This caterpillar can be found all throughout North America. The ones we see here, they turn into a moth later that same year. Just they're able to eat enough and get enough food, and they turn into a moth that same year. But up north in the Arctic, where spring and summer is a whole lot shorter than it is here, they don't have a whole lot of time to eat. So once they're born, they eat as much as they can in the spring and summer, but it's very short. It's only a couple months. And then it starts getting cold again. When it does that, they go and find a nice secluded spot kind of under a rock or somewhere out of the way so they don't get stepped on. So they stay there. And as the temperature drops, they stay there. Temperature goes to 60 degrees below zero. Their hearts stop beating. They stop breathing. Their internal organs freeze, and eventually their blood freezes solid. They're dead. They're technically dead. They are frozen. Nothing is alive in them. Nothing is working. But they're not dead. In their blood and tissues is what is called a cryoprotectant. It's like an antifreeze that doesn't allow ice crystals to form in its blood. So when spring comes and the area thaws, so does the caterpillar. It shakes off the few pieces of ice that are still on it, shakes it off and wiggles around and gets up and goes back to work. Begins to eat and eat and eat again. But it won't get enough that year either. So it does it again. It does this freezing and thawing cycle for 14 years. 14 years. They've even said some they've noticed as old as 22. Each year it dies, it freezes, only to be reborn to continue with its goal of changing into something, a moth, that will fly away. It dies and is reborn so it can change into something that will fly away. When we get tired and worn from living in this world that is making us tired, it's sin. Sin is heavy. If you've ever had your shirt soaking wet from exercise or a water ride at Adventureland, that shirt is heavy. It's hard to take off. It sticks to you. That's what sin is like. It's heavy and hard to get off. If we keep sin with us, it's going to weigh us down, wear us out. And if we keep that sin with us, we will be dead. But not quite. Because when we have Jesus in our lives, he can act like the antifreeze, like in the blood of the caterpillar. He overcomes the death from the outside world. He overcomes the freezing death that would surround us and kill us. And we're able to shake off the sin like the caterpillar shakes off the ice. And we can continue our goal of serving God. And Jesus' sacrifice allows us to do this time and time again until we are changed and can fly away to him. There is one other way, a good way, that our spiritual genes could have a hole in them. And it's a good way. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our knees should be worn by bowing to Jesus. By bowing before him on our knees should be worn out. We should be bowing before Jesus because he is our Savior. And we should be confessing his name, that he is Lord. If you need to confess his name this morning, so that he can cause what is dead in you to be reborn, so you can shake off the weight of the sin in your lives, so you can have help carrying the burdens, you're invited to come as we sing the invitation song.